So if you will turn with me in your Bibles to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And as you turn there, this is a somewhat familiar story in the Bible. I want to read the first nine verses of the chapter. And as a little intro to this study, you know, this is the last week of Jesus' life here on earth before he is crucified. A lot of things are going on. You know, everything is building up to the point where he's arrested and crucified. And from our text, we're going to see what I picked up as three different vantage points, points of view. And the story there where Mary comes and breaks the alabaster box and anoints the Lord. So we're going to be looking at things from Mary's perspective, from the disciples and the rest of the guys in that room's perspective, and also from the Lord. So the title of my message this morning is called, It's Never a Waste. It's Never a Waste. So let me read, and then we'll get into it. Verse 1, Mark 14. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it may have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, verse 6, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. Verse 8, so she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, verse 9, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial. So let me give us in our mind's eye what this story may have looked like. We know that Jesus is with his disciples. And Lazarus, we know that from John 12, at the house of Simon the leper, who obviously has been healed. And if you think about it, this is now after almost 3 years of Jesus ministering on earth with his 12 boys, right? This is, if you were to put it in, you know, coming 21st century, you know, terms, this is a big time meeting. I mean, you have the church leaders, the miracle performers. You have the King of the universe, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, Jesus. And there you have Lazarus. We know that from, again, John 12, who was dead for 4 days and he's back to life. Okay? So you have the church, you know, the leaders. You have the boss, the ultimate boss. And you have a guy that came back from the grave. Think about what that looked like in those days. And there, here comes a lady busting into the scene, and she does this mighty thing that she did. So if you put yourself in that room, I wonder what the conversation was like. I know for a fact that if I meet Lazarus after he was dead for 4 days, I will be asking him a lot of questions. I'm like, dude, what was it like? I mean, you were dead. Yeah. And now you're alive. Yeah. I'm like, can we take a selfie? I'll be posting that on Instagram and Facebook. I met the guy that was dead, and he's alive now. I mean, seriously, it's a big deal. What was the conversation like? We know Judas was there. What was Jesus saying? Simon the leper? I mean, it was a pretty cool. I wish we could hear all that. And with that in mind, you know, let's get into it. It says, I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table, and a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Now, an alabaster flask was a small bottle, long neck. And, you know, they had that in those times. And the spikenard, the very costly oil, we know that it was like a very expensive thing. It was precious. So somehow in that culture, they knew immediately what was in that bottle and what she was doing. Because look at the reaction. It says, you know, and then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Verse 4, but there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? The title of the message again is, it's never a waste. Why was that a waste? Let's look at this from a practical standpoint. Why would you do that? Now, we know that the one that started the whole thing complaining about the oil was none other than Judas, who had been with the Lord for 3 years, hanging out, who had been sent out. Remember, the Lord sent the 70 and the 12, and they came back. He's like, Lord, we perform miracles. You know, even the demons are subject to us. Who saw Jesus walk in water? Who saw Jesus calm the storm? Who, if you didn't see Lazarus come back to life when Jesus called him out, he for sure saw Lazarus alive. I mean, this is a guy that has been around the Lord, and he's seen all these things. You would think, I mean, practically, that somebody that has been so close to the Lord would be the one doing what Mary did. Yet he is leading the charge and judging her work. And it says, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Verse 5, for it may have been sold for more than 300 denarii. Now, 300 denarii was about a year's wages for an average worker. Employee. So in 2017 in the United States, the average employee made $44,000 and change, almost $45,000. So if you put it in 2018 numbers, she just dropped $45,000 on Jesus's head. Come on, let's look at it practically. Really? $45,000? You know what I could do with that? I mean, how many houses in Mexico? Right? So Judas says, how spiritual am I? Could have been given to the poor. Not to me, although it says John 12 that he was the one that kept the money. He said that because he kept the money. But he is coming, and obviously some of the other guys are jumping in with him. It's like, that was a waste. Whenever anything is done for the Lord, it is never a waste. Doesn't matter. Have the criticism, have somebody have their own opinions. Who cares what they think? If it's done for the Lord, it is never a waste. You're not going to get to heaven having served the Lord, done something for the Lord, and be like, oh yeah, bummer. No, it's going to be like, praise the Lord. Thank you. Wow, this is what your work did for him. Now it says, it could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Now, that word wasted at the end of verse 4 is the same word, perdition, that Jesus used in John 17, 12, talking about Judas. Isn't it interesting that Judas, the son of perdition, per Jesus' definition, said, that's a perdition. It's quite the opposite, Judas. You are the perdition. You are the waste. And we'll get into that a little later. But Wiersbe pointed that out in his commentary. I thought, like, that is very interesting. And I researched it, and he was spot on. It says, it could have been sold to, you know, but 300 denarii, you know, all this money, and they were all criticizing her sharply. Now, I like the fact that in the three accounts that we get of this event, you don't hear Mary defending herself. Now, if it was me, I would have been like, oh, yeah, Judas? Bro, come on. Really? You're not doing it. You don't hear Mary. Baby. No. Mm-mm. She didn't say a word. The Lord does. Now, again, back to our point. In that room, what must she have felt like to walk into that room with 12 miracle workers, right? And let alone the sons of thunder and Peter right there. James, John, and Peter's like, yeah. And then Simon. And then Lazarus, hey, good to be alive again. What was that like? And then the first reaction she gets is from Judas criticizing what she just did for the Lord. What was that like? I can tell you, I would probably feel pretty discouraged. But that's not the end of our story. It says, verse 6, but Jesus said. Now, I have that highlighted in my Bible, those three words. But Jesus said. Now, we have three opinions, right? We have Mary's, which is just doing an act of worship for the Lord. We have the rest of the boys' opinions. That was a waste. That was a waste. That was a waste. Now we're going to hear from the one that really matters, Jesus, his opinion on it. It says, but Jesus said, let her alone. I like that. Leave her alone. Oh, but we're being practical, Lord. Judas, I mean, come on. If anything, Judas could have expected, like, good job, Judas. Spot on, man. Wow. Here, back the oil. Let's go sell it. No. Leave her alone. Let her alone. Says, why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. Key word, for me, for the Lord. She has done a good work for me. She has done a good work for me. God, Jesus, has the final word. He will have the final say. You know, read Revelation. You see, he comes back. He deals with sin. He deals with the kingdoms of the earth, the devil and all his followers, and those that don't believe in Jesus. Down they go to the lake of fire. He rules and reigns for Jerusalem with a rod of iron, the new Jerusalem. Poof, we win. He has the final word. That's what awaits to the Christian, to us, to me, to you. The world may say, criticize, be practical. Come on, look at it with common sense. Why would you do that? Hey, Romans 3:4, I think it is. It says, yeah, it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let what God thinks and what he says of what we do be what counts and not what people think. Because you see, if Mary would have just said outside that door in that room, it's like, do I really want to do this? Do I want to bring a $45,000 bottle into that meeting with all those big wigs, right? And Lazarus, my brother. Do I really want to do this? Should I even try it? Can I just tell somebody to go bring it in? No, she just takes that step. But you see, it's easy to, by just looking at things, jump to a conclusion and judge. It's easy for Judas and the boys to say, that was a waste. But do you know where she's been, Judas? Do you understand where she's been? And she was at the feet of Jesus right there when he came over for dinner. Martha was preparing a meal. You know the story. And Martha was complaining that she has chosen the better thing. But also she was at Jesus' feet when Lazarus was dead. John 11, she runs to Jesus weeping at his feet. So he was at his feet listening, and now she's been at his feet weeping. She lost a brother. For 4 days, she was broken. And this that you call a waste, the one that just been anointed by me, he brought him back to life. You don't understand, Judas. You don't get it. And that could be me. I could judge something just by looking at it in my mind and say, well, that was a waste. So that's not smart. Oh, why would you do that? Or they should do better, something better with their time. Or that's a bad investment. I can. In fact, much to my shame, I have. In the house that we moved a year ago or so, we were coming into the neighborhood, and there's a young boy with a lemonade stand. You know, it was hot. Well, it's always hot. It's forever hot. You can't just get used to it. When it's cold, you can't go like, wait, it's cold? No. So he is riding on a hoverboard, selling lemonade. Now, a hoverboard is those things that have two wheels that are really fancy, and you charge them, and you can cruise. And those things are expensive. So I'm driving. My wife is my witness. And I'm like, wow, somebody doesn't need money. I mean, you're selling lemonade to make money, and you got a hoverboard? So I judged it in my heart, in my mouth. I kept driving. Well, my wife is part of this Facebook group for our neighborhood. And as the Lord will do often with our attitudes, he humbled me because the story came out. See, that boy that was there is one of six siblings, I believe. And his younger sister had cancer. Now, mom is driving to Dallas on a daily basis for treatment and taking her back and forth while managing another 5 kids. And he was selling lemonade to help mom. Yeah, see, now you know how I felt. I felt so bad. I thought I was lost forever. I mean, really, I'm like, how could I in my heart judge that boy? Well, the Lord is faithful, and he always gives us a chance to redeem it. So since it's always hot in Texas, like a couple months later, we come into our neighborhood, and he's there again. I'm like, ah, yes. So I told my wife, true story, I said, whatever's in the wallet, which, well, 20 cents. No, I'm kidding. There's some, I hope more than that. I said, just give it to him. Now, this is that the powdered lemonade thing. I mean, it's not the real deal. I mean, why would you buy that? I'm just saying. I said, I don't need that. But I'm like, go. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, just give him the money. Yeah, go. This is redemption time for me. And the kid is like, do you want the lemonade? You want more than one? You know, because we give him more. It was 50 cents. We give him like 75. So I'm kidding. I'm like, no. Just keep it. It's good. Just forget. You go, I'm forgiven. Good. Redeemed. See, I didn't know. I saw. I judged. We don't know. You don't know. In our story, Mary, she's been through it. And then she's like, man, the one that brought my brother back to life. Judge what you can, what you want, say what you can. So I lift my hands, so I sing louder. So what? You don't know where I've been, but I know where I've been, and I know what the Lord did for me. And yes, I'm worshiping him. See? It's a different frequency. We just don't know. And I'm learning this because I'm kind of, you know, put my foot in my mouth quite often because I just kind of go like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Let's be practical. Let's be smart here. You don't really need to sell lemonade when you have a hoverboard. What's next? Scooter? You know? I mean, really. But back to our text, it says, let her alone, verse 6. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. She has done a good work for me. There will be no shortage of people. Sometimes even vocally telling us, you're not being smart with your time, with your career, with your resources. Why would you go on that missions trip? Why would you provide for that? Why would you step up? Why would you sacrifice this time? Why? Let God be true and every man a liar. She did a good work for him. And the Lord, since he is Jehovah Elroy, that's in Genesis 16, I believe, 16:13, is he sees her heart. He's so past Judas's accusation and the boys and the $45,000 offering. He's so past the whole thing and right to her heart, and she judged her, saying, that was a good work for me. See, he is the God who sees. He sees right where we're at. He sees why we do things and where we're coming from, which it could be one of two things, a very comforting thought or a very sovereign thought. That all depends on how we do things and what's the motive that drives us. But in our story, obviously, we have the two opposites. We have Mary and we have Judas. And we know why one said, let's give it to the poor, right? And we know why one said, this is for my Lord. We just never know. Now, verse 7 says, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. Verse 8, she has done what she could. This is the text that jumped at me when I was studying a few weeks back. It's like, she has done what she could. See, again, we, as human beings, compare ourselves to people. We say, well, I'm not as good-looking or as skilled singing or as charming or eloquent as they are. How could I serve the Lord? I can't sing like they do. I can fill up stadiums like Greg Laurie does. I'm no Beth Moore, right? I'm not Chuck Smith. So I'm just here, this little person that, hey, She did what she could, not what she was required to do or must do. This is the standard. Anything short, she did what she could. That's what the Lord sees, what we can do. He doesn't expect us to do these crazy things and says you failed because you didn't do this much. It's like you did what you could. See, I have 4 kids. 7, almost 6, 5, 3, and 5 months tomorrow. We're busy. But as my kids, especially Eli and Cameron, were growing up, little, you know, when they go to kindergarten or they go to church and they do their first craft, it's like a page that's all messed up. Sometimes they drop juice on it, but it's got some scribble. And it's like, they come, it's like, Dad, this is for you. Oh my goodness. Anybody else would be like, that's just a piece of trash. Throw it in the trash. It's got juice, it's got some scribbles, the paint dropped. Oh. But for me, those little papers are precious. They have no value. You can't buy them unless you pay me enough. No, I'm kidding. I won't sell them. But they have a special place in my heart because my kids did what they could. They're no artists. They're not going to display those things in a museum, you know, in Washington, D.C. or France. They won't. But to me, they're on my top shelf in my office. My wife had them for Father's Day, made this wood letters that spelled D-A-D, that spells dad, in case, you know, backwards too. So it's really good. Get him there. And they paint, each one of them painted them. And you can see which one was Selah's, the little one, because it barely had any paint. And Eli's was completely just like ketchup in the mustard and a burger. It's like, and then Cambria's a little more. And I have those 3 letters right there. And I look at them every time that I study. They're kind of hard to miss. They're about this big and they're colorful. It's like, that's precious to me. They did what they could. In their little minds, their little hands, not skilled, they did something for Dad. See, let's turn it in. How much more our perfect Heavenly Father, when we say, Lord, I may not be skilled, good-looking, sharp, eloquent, whatever, but what I can, I do. That's precious. Let the insecurities and all the weird preconceived ideas in our heads fall short. The Lord sees the heart. He sees where we come from. And he acknowledges Mary. Yeah, it was 45K, if you would, on me, but it's never a waste. She's done what she could. And what she has done, as we read in verse 9, is eternal, because Jesus went on to say, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be done as a memorial. 2018, August 19th, we're here. The gospel is being preached. It's a memorial. Why? Because his word never fails. Let God be true and every man a liar. His word will stand. See it? It's amazing. But she did what she could. And what she did was way beyond her. Now, I have a friend, his name is Sam, and he was a pastor with me at a previous church in California before we moved here. He went to work for a place called the Hershey Foundation. You know Hershey chocolate, Hershey? And it's in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And we went and visited him about a year ago or so, a little bit more than a year ago, and we saw where he worked, and he explained to me what Mr. Hershey, whatever his name is or was, did. Well, Mr. Hershey, he was alive, he set up a fund of about $9 billion, a fund for this foundation that he created. It's called the Hershey Foundation. Pretty good. And what this fund does is that builds a home, and they have acres and acres of land there in Hershey. They will build a home for kids, underprivileged kids or orphans or foster kids, and they will take him in at no cost. They will hire a couple, such as my friend Sam, and they will be the parents, if you would, to these kids. They will teach them to do homework, you know, cook for them, drop them off at school. They have all these vans lined up. I mean, it's a whole system. And, you know, it started with a few homes, and now it's a massive campus that you get lost driving, and there's houses upon houses upon houses everywhere. And $9 billion making interest on $9 billion is a perpetual fund. As long as the dollar is in currency, that is never going to tap into the principal or the money. It's just living off the interest, and now they stop this whole thing. Now, this guy's been gone. And he's a Christian. He's old, you know, Christian. He's in heaven now. Yet the work that he did here, I picture, like, we were thinking the other day, it's like, I wonder if that's the guy that comes home in heaven after, you know, hanging out and sees a brand new pool in the back. It's like, oh yeah, that's the rewards that keep coming your way, because what you did on earth while you were there is still bringing in, is still being efficient, is building the kingdom. Souls are being saved. Kids are being pulled out of poverty because of what you did with what you had. You did what you could. See, I am no Mr. Hershey, and I do not have billions of dollars. But we do what we can. To whom much is given, Luke 12, much is required. And I look around, and I'm like, we are blessed. We really are blessed. We have a wonderful church, a great pastor. And I'm not saying that because he's not here and he's going to watch the video later and say, oh, thank you for the plug. No, it's true. If you've been here long enough, you know what I'm talking about. It's a shepherd. We're blessed. I've been to churches where there's no shepherds. The word of God's taught here faithfully. Whoever is teaching, myself, Kendall, Pastor Bill, it's the word of God. We've been given much. We're blessed. Too much. Much is given, much is required. And I'm not saying that in a way to make you feel bad or anything like that. But I want you to keep in mind that Judas, the guy that had the ultimate teacher, the ultimate gifting and all that, he did go down in the record books not so well. So Jesus says, verse 8, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. See, you guys don't get what she's doing. In about a week or so, I'm going to be on a cross. And the ointment she put on me, it'll be there. You didn't do that, Peter. You didn't do that, John. She's in a different level. She has done what she could. She never defended herself. The Lord defended her. She has done what she could. And the Lord will use what we have. I mean, you look in the Bible, you look at stories, you look at Moses. Moses, with this rod, you will do my work. You look at David. David was a shepherd. He killed lions and bears protecting his sheep. He said, yeah, with the sling, we'll take down Goliath. I'll use that. Peter, he was a fisherman. Jesus is like, follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. And you look in the book of Acts, Peter redeemed Peter, rebuild Peter. Wow. 3,000 get saved in his first sermon. Right? Mary, I have a flask. I have a bottle. That's what I'm using. Paul had a brain. That guy was so sharp. I mean, you read the writings, of course, the Holy Spirit anointed him, used him, but he was an educated man, very educated. He said, I superseded all my teachers. I was according to the law of Pharisee. He knew it. He's part of the Sanhedrin. He was a very well-taught scholar. And the Lord is like, I'll use that. What is it that you have? Because the Lord has given us all gifts. It says that he ascended, he gave gifts to all men and women. What do you have? What flask, if you would, do you have? Forget what people are going to say. Forget what they think. Oh, but you're going to church on Sunday? Yes. And Wednesday too? True. Oh, my goodness. Wow. What a waste. It's not a waste. You guys know the story of Jim Elliot. You know, young man, missionary to Ecuador, the Aka Indians, and somebody wrote him a letter, said, you're being a fool. You're wasting your youth. And he replied with that famous quote, says, he's no fool that gives, who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. What we do for the Lord is eternal. And let the Lord be the one that defend us. Because he will. I've been in those shoes. I had a friend one time that told me, hey, man, you go too much to church. By the way, if you have a friend that says that, it's not a good friend. He did say that. You go too much to church. I'm like, what? I was a brand new Christian. It's that, you know, that foundational season when you're getting and learning. I was going to church. I just had to go to church. I had nothing else to do. I just went to church. Hey, man, let's hang out. Oh, yeah, I'm after church. You go too much to church. I'm like, well, you don't. Well, I can tell you the paths went completely different ways. But Mary did what she could. Mary did what she could. And the Lord saw it. And it's like, it's no waste. She's done it for me. I pray that we will be Mary-like minded. I pray that we will take that which the Lord has given us, whatever it might be, and take the plunge. True, people will say something. In fact, they always do. But what matters is what the Lord thinks of us. Yielding to the Lord, taking the plunge. It's not by might, Zechariah 4:6. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You give me what you have, and let me do the work. I will enable you, anoint you, use you. You just come and give me the flask. My mother-in-law gave me a sign when I first started teaching. It says, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. No, I like that. If you look at the Bible, that's exactly what he did. Paul was not qualified, but he qualified him. Moses was not qualified, but he qualified him 40 years in the desert, taking care of sheep. Take the plunge. Go for it. Let the record book show a Mary-like story where a good work was done for the Lord, big or small. We're not talking about fruitfulness and size and all that. We're talking about what is done for the Lord. But I want to look a little deeper. Because we have Mary, we have Lazarus, we have the disciples, and we have Judas. And Judas gets a well-deserved, you know, bad reputation. I mean, he betrayed the Lord. But if you look at it, he was there. He saw it. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard the Bible studies. He saw the prayers. He heard the prayers. He saw the miracles. He was used. But he missed it. And I wonder if that cannot be me sometimes. Or us. Where all these amazing blessings are before us. Right there. And we nod our heads. And we say we agree. And we say good job. Good for you. But what about you? What about me? What do I do? See, agreeing, nodding my head, saying amen, unless blessed are you if you do these things, Jesus would say. What does that mean? What about you? The son of perdition called somebody else's worship a waste, and he was the one that was wasted. He was the one that threw it away. He was. In my own prayer time, my own prayer life, I've been praying a different tune. I'm like, Lord, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. It might be bumpy on the way. I might judge a kid on a hoverboard from time to time and judge their motives. But let me finish well. Let me finish strong. Whatever that may look like. As the adage, you know, the saying says, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I want to finish well. I want to go in the record books like a Mary. Because the God who sees Elroy, he knows where I am. He knows exactly what's in my heart. And we don't want to go down as those that waste. Mary is remembered for all the right reasons, while Judas is remembered for all the wrong reasons. That's reality. She went past the meeting, the board, everything. She's like, this guy raised my brother from the dead. Has anybody in here whose brother or sibling has been saved by Jesus and they're no longer going to hell, but they're going to heaven? Where are Mary's sandals now? My mom was saved, right? I'm praying for my brother too. The guy's tough. It's reality. But we have so much to be thankful for. Again, to whom much is given, much is required. The God who sees everything that is done, it's never a waste. It's never a waste. It's a sacrifice, yes. Is it costly? True. That oil, that spikenard thing was imported from India. It's a lot of money. Oh, but Mary's in heaven today, and we're talking about her in 2018. Don't waste it. Don't miss out. I've been learning, the longer that you are in church or around, you know, Christian circles, you know, you sometimes come and talk to people that you never think that they're like sideways. I mean, they look a certain way. They carry themselves a certain way. And you kind of go like, yeah, they're okay. They're walking. And then much to your shock, you come to find out some crazy news about, you go like, wait a minute, I never saw that one coming. You guys realize that when Jesus had the Last Supper and he said, one of you, 12, is going to betray me, they all asked, is it I, is it I, is it I? Now, wouldn't it be obvious that if everybody knew it was Judas, like everybody would have been like, it's Judas, if anybody is Judas. Judas, for some reason, blended in really well. Not even his disciples hung out with him 3 years ago, like, okay, well, if anybody's going to go south here, it's definitely that guy with a money bag. Nobody said that. Nobody did. Is it I? And in my mind's eye, I have Judas in a corner like this, like, you know? No. He's like, is it I? Judas is like, yeah, you are. Yeah, it's you. What does that tell us? He blended in pretty good. He walked like a Christian and talked like a Christian and sang like a Christian and read like a Christian. Yeah. But in his heart, he was, where's the money? Now pay attention to this. Could have been sold and given to the poor. Money. 300 denarii. He's talking about money. He sold the Lord for money. See? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You hear somebody just talk about a certain thing, doesn't take you long to figure out where they're at. Well, that's what's in your heart. Yeah, I saw a kid on a hoverboard, man. I'm kidding in it. Oh, that's in your heart. That's in your heart. You don't have to tell me. Well, anybody, just look at him, listen. I can see exactly where you're at, man. Judas, money, money, money. He was there. He blended in. Ah, so close. But the Lord saw Mary. The Lord saw. Verse 9 says, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And again, that's what we're doing today. I pray that we will be a Mary-like, like I said earlier, and pull a Mary, not a Hail Mary, like football, but like a Mary, and say, Lord, whatever it is that you have, let's go. Let's charge. I want to finish well too, Lord. I want to go down the record books with my family, my legacy, as one that feared you and loved you. It takes work. It takes work. It's costly. The judgments will come. Opinions will fly off. Your Decisions will be questioned. But let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be the one that defends you. Now, I don't know who's here. And I don't know what you brought to this place. But I know Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees you and me right where we're at. I don't know what your week was like. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're struggling with. But God knows. He's acquainted with all of our ways. He sees our rising up, laying down. We cannot escape from him. Psalm 139. He sees. And he's able to see right through all that's in front. He's able to look at your heart. And he's the one that formed you and created you. He knows your heartbeats. And he knows exactly what you're dealing with. Jesus, when he saw Mary in that room, he knew exactly what was up. That's why he defended her. He sees you today, this morning, here, as you are. Where you've been, what you've done, what you're wrestling with, struggling with, whatever has you down or up, he sees it. He knows it. It's nothing hidden from his eye. Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees. Whatever you brought to this place, leave it here. Walk out these doors like a Mary-like mentality. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe somebody brought you here. You just showed up to church after a long time. And you need to come back to the Lord, or you need to be saved. Maybe you say, I don't want to be a waster. I don't want to be a son of perdition. I want to live. I want to go to heaven. I want Jesus. If that's you, you come. You're not here by chance. You didn't show up to church on August 19, 2018, 10:45 because of chance. The Lord is here. He has a plan. So if that's you, hear the word of the Lord. He sees you. He sees what you can do. And more importantly, he sees all that he can do through you. Let not your life be a waste. Let your life be one of legacy and serving and loving your Lord Jesus. Be a Mary-like person. Because God is coming. Oh, he is. When Greg Laurie in Southern California is being asked to take down signs that he's holding a book, which is the Bible, and the world is freaking out there in Orange County, which is, by the way, where I moved from, and I pray for that area, and I have friends that live there. He said, take down the sign of the guy holding the black book. It doesn't even say Bible. If you're following that, you know what I'm talking about. It's trending hashtag right now, stand with the Bible. When the world is saying, take down the sign, I'm offended. I don't want to see a guy with a book. It tells you the time is near. The time is close. We don't want to waste it. Whatever it is we have, use it for the Lord. If you need to make things right with him, do it. Don't let it be a waste. I heard the other day of this lady who got baptized at 90 years old. 99 or something like that. Any past 90, I mean, come on, that's a long time. Hey, it's never too late. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your word, and its application to our hearts, Lord. We thank you that you are the God who sees, El Roy. Lord, I pray that you would use us for your glory. You ask us to do what we can. But Lord, if there's anybody in this room or listening on the internet, in the lobby, that needs to come to you, as we sang earlier, I pray that they'll come. Pray that if anybody's life is being wasted due to sin and compromise, that they will turn. And as our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I got to ask, is there anyone in this room this morning that needs Jesus, needs to be saved, who wants to go to heaven and be forgiven of their sins? If that's you, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up here. I just want to pray for you. Anybody in this room, please raise your hand if that's who you are. All right. Lord, we thank you because your word has gone out. We thank you because we know it will not return void. we pray that we will be those that take the plunge, that do a good work for you according to your power and glory and your enabling. We pray, Lord, that we will finish well. And we pray for our land. We pray for revival. We pray for people to come to know you quickly. We pray for great glory. Even as tonight he finishes Harvest Crusade in Southern California, that you anoint him and use him. And many, many in Orange County will come into the kingdom. Use us for your glory. Guide us. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.